Lock and Load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-teeny stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
I have so much material tonight. I don't even know if I'm going to get through all of it. I really don't. I'm so locked and loaded for tonight. But I got to say, my doc, now you're experiencing, because you and I were talking, I was talking to you about the show over the weekend, and I was telling you all the things I don't want. And now you experience firsthand, this is the beginning of the show, right? And you're telling me that you were waiting in queue, and I'm literally hauling ass in from the rig, and I come screeching into the gas station. I got to run in. I didn't even get my Diet Coke because they're 10 deep in line to, you know, get my Diet Coke. And then I'm running in, and I'm hoping my technology is working because, God bless America, I not only have one personal hotspot, I have two personal hotspots. And then I have my internet card because there is no way in hell they're stopping me from getting on the show. Just no way. And I will get to the Mickey Mouse madness and the fun and the giggles. But now you're sitting there and you understand when I come in like that, I need people waiting and ready. And Benjamin still isn't here. So God bless you for being here tonight.
I wouldn't miss it for the world, Bella.
So I just, and I wish Benjamin was here right now because, as I said to you, I said, there can't be any slow pull on the trigger, right? And I've come up with a procedure because we're going to talk about a little bit about Obamacare tonight. Oh, there he is. Oh, good. Just in time for the.
Better late than never. Fashionably late.
What am I walking into?
Hey, good luck, Benjamin.
Sorry I'm late.
What are you walking into? Like, I'm going to warn you.
Get ready, buddy. She's wound for sound, and you're late.
So now I've got to take my punishment like a man.
Yeah, you better just get ready for it. You're going to take the punishment like you walked into a company man's shack when he was in the middle of his mid-afternoon nap and asked him to sign a ticket.
See, gentlemen, now that I have your attention, Lord, what is that? My technology has taken off. What? It's my second... What? I didn't do anything. I swear to God. Oh, so, let's get to business. So, that's a problem.
Hello?
Suppose.
What gas station are you at, Bella?
Bella, we can't hear you.
Oh, no.
She does this periodically. It'll be okay.
Well, she's got what's known as the case of the Willistons, and this is what I call it. There's a certain amount of infrastructure required up here that they're still catching up to the speed of the oil field. And,
can you not hear me?
Yeah. Now we can now.
We can now.
Oh, it was another one where I hit a pocket.
Huh. Yep. I was just telling him I call that a case of the Willistons when technology just fails you 100%.
Okay, how about now? Am I loud and clear?
Loud and clear, Bella.
You're loud.
Loud for sure.
All right. So Mud Doc and I were talking about the show this weekend. And Benjamin, I've come up with a procedure because we're going to talk a little bit about Obamacare today, just a little bit, and then we're going to mix it up. But I've got a procedure that if you don't have your zip cords wrapped around your thinking cap and if you're slow to pull the trigger, I've got jumper cables that I can properly attach to the jugular of your manhood and hook it up to a generator. It'll make that little Mexican tap dance that you do to my Colt 45 seem like child's play. How about that? Because Look, you guys, I got a phone call this morning by Brian Sear. And, you know, all seriousness, really, we have to have AAA locked and loaded every single night. We are done with the slow stutters, the dragging our double bag, poor, sad, lonely asses to the show. How about this one, Benjamin? No more popcorn eating, microwave starting, dog walking,
screen door slamming,
changing poopy diapers,
dishwashing, car starting.
Yeah, and then they say, well, I got nothing else to do, so I think I'll just call up Bella and see what she's doing and harass her on her show tonight. or the worst is when they can't understand what I'm talking about. Or I have to sit there and I go, hello, are you there? Don't leave me hanging. Don't deadpan me. I mean, no, really. Because here's the thing. So I get this phone call this morning, and it's Brian, and he's all excited. He's going to be – it's Brian Sear. Let me specify. It's Brian Sear, who is the Angel Ventures is in his investment group, and he's looking to do the investment in the show. So I was in the – earlier in the weekend, I'd been talking to him, and he was asking me, what do I really need to get the show – you know, what do I need financially for the first year? And don't half-ass it, and don't tell me you're going to drag some lady down the street that has – kids and for $20 an hour she's going to try and line up guests. No, don't do that Mickey Mouse game. And I said, well, I don't have access to real talent out here for a radio show, so I don't know what it's going to cost. So anyways, but this morning he's telling me he's all set up and he said he had a conference call, you guys, with the producer of the Scott Hennin radio show, which broadcasts out of Fargo. And Scott Hennin's radio program, which is scotthennin.com when you look it up, and it's Common Sense Radio. He streams, besides himself, it's Rush, Beck, Hannity, all the big boys that I want to push to the side and say, okay, it's my turn, guys, thanks. Move over. So he said, I got a conference call at this morning with the producer, and he said, I just want to let you know that I'll let you know how the conference call goes. So he calls me back, and he left me this voicemail, and he said, Dustin, the producer, is one of your biggest fans. And I thought, well, self, I mean, I was Bella the Bakken on AM 1090 KTGO out of Tioga. I did it for 6 months, but I had to stop when my cleaning business took off. And he said he gave me all of the advice of how to build a very, very successful radio show. He says, there's no doubt you're going to be hugely successful. And Dustin had verbalized to me that they would pick this show up. That would be the first radio station that has given a verbal to pick the show. And then Brian said this, you guys. He goes, how did you find all these people? He goes, every single person you've directed me to, how did you find them? How are you so well connected? And I thought to myself, well, self, this was BT. You know, instead of BC, this is before the throne. I mean, I was able to do things. I actually have a brain on this head. I'm very connected. It's just that when you're so busy running around chasing after throne scrubbers and trying to deal with illogical, you know, complete illogical conversations and everything, that just drags your retarded self down. I mean, good Lord. So, anyway, I am very wound up tonight. Benjamin, how are you, by the way?
Much better, thanks.
I'm you still sound coughing a little better. Bit.
Yeah, I actually, about by Sunday, was thinking that I might actually live. So I'm on antibiotics, and I'm doing much better. Thanks.
Well,
you
well,
actually got a doctor to prescribe you antibiotics?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that. I don't want to bring up the whole Obamacare thing, but I was like, good God. You know, it's nice to be able to decide to get in your car and go wherever you want to go to a doctor.
Well, let me, I've got a bunch of different stories that all surround around Obamacare tonight, right? So, first of all, I'm at the shack this morning, okay? And I'm trying to talk one of the sales guys into coming on the show. And I really think they're just chicken enough to not tell me that they are chicken, because they come up with all kinds of retarded, ridiculous reasons why that comes. So, and this sales guy usually doesn't talk to me, but then again, he's a big guy, and the big guys aren't exactly, I'm not exactly one of their favorites. They don't usually get in the rig when they see that it's me there, because as Mississippi One always says, why can't you come back when you ain't got all the time in the world? Not when you got all the time in the world. But anyway, so I'm sitting there trying to talk him into it, and he decides to tell me about this joke. And he said, this man goes in for a vasectomy. And he said he's laying there, and he says the triple D gal walks in, and not only is she 10, she's a 12. And so he's coming over there, he's prepping him and everything, getting him ready for the procedure. And of course, he becomes aroused. And so she hops on and gets the job done, and when it's all done and said, he looks at her, and he says, is that standard procedure? And she said, yeah, she said, we found that it produced better results, 100% accuracy in the procedure when we take care of this on the front side. And he said, oh, all right, I'm fine with that, thanks. And so she is pushing him down the hall down to the procedure room, and he looks over into the glass, and he sees a bunch of gentlemen that unfortunately have to do the job themselves. And he says, "He says, what's up with that?" And she says, well, they have Obamacare, and you have Blue Cross Blue Shield. Well, what got even funnier is, of course, this is how I walk myself into my own situation with the company man up at the rig. Without even really paying attention to what I was doing, I had been on the phone earlier, because I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I'd been calling. I set up a dentist appointment down in Dickinson, and when I set the appointment, she said to me, or she called back and she said, you know what, we checked your insurance, you have medical, you don't have dental, and so I said, oh, that's right, I better call back, because I forgot to add it onto my policy. So anyways, but while I'm sitting there in that little moment of listening to this joke and laughing, I pick up my phone, and what do you suppose I did? I called my insurance agent. And when the insurance agent says, well, what are you calling about? And I said, I can't remember the lady's name that handled my Blue Cross Blue Shield, but I said, can I leave a voicemail so she can call me back? When I said Blue Cross Blue Shield, yeah, the room fell apart, right? And, of course, so then I said to myself, well, I mean, if I need a procedure, if I got to get, you know, tubes tied or something like that, I'm certainly not going to put up with a hand job. I want the real job. And I said, I mean, when you've been waiting this long, I mean, am I going to settle? I mean. Oh, well,
absolutely
that one's too
not.
Easy. I mean, was that one too easy? You saw it all coming. Well, give me something harder, boys. Okay.
What can you do? You can't do anything but laugh at that.
Well, there was also other discussion today. Does anybody want to venture to guess what other discussions were had? You know, this is all serious business.
I can't even begin to imagine what kind of discussions came up in the company man shack command centers of the oil field.
Of course you can't. That's why she loves asking you to guess.
Well, no, I can. I can, but I'm segueing into this because I unfortunately know all too well what Bella runs into every day.
Benjamin?
Yes. Just trying to help him out, Bella.
Don't
get suckered into that.
Yeah.
I said, don't get suckered into that. One of her favorite things to do is call me up and go, guess what?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep,
really?
I've got that as well now, and it's like, guess what? And it's like, the thing is I know where it's going. I know all too well where it's going. Because I've seen it. I've been there. I've heard it. When Bella says, guess what? It's like, oh, hell, grab onto your seat and get ready.
By the way, I was with a great company man on Sunday, and he was, when I walked into the shack and I sat down and he had the football game on and he goes, I've been listening to your episodes. And he goes, I got to ask you though, do you have a left-handed cigarette going or do you just get like plowed wasted before going on the show? And I said, what? He goes, you laugh so hard.
Yeah.
And I said, and so when I left the rig that day and I called Wilson and I told him what he said and a bunch of other things, and I said, really, though, I said, it's therapy for me because God knows I would actually never, you know, brain damage myself with actual, I mean, it's therapy for me because I had to go through this mental cleansing of what I endure just trying to get through my day to just get to my radio show. I mean, there's just a few things that I deal with. Well, Benjamin, the list is endless of, you know, I mean, this cleaning business has almost been the end of me.
So you didn't tell him? You'd be laughing, too, if you were a woman in the oil field sitting in the pickup truck naked with a hard hat on in a gas station parking lot, pirating internet signal, waving at passersby while doing a live radio show. Really?
You forgot the company man shirt, Benjamin, wearing nothing but the company man shirt.
Go ahead, I'll let you go. Can you hit the rope?
Drinking muscle milk.
Then we get serious, you know, because then all of a sudden these company guys, if they even remotely think I'm even becoming friends with somebody other than the company, right? Then it's all seriousness, and it's like, no, really, you need to go back to plan A and sans of any boyfriend idea, okay? Because once you get a boyfriend, it's like an oil rig. Once you get one, you can't get rid of it easily unless it blows up. You can't hide it very well. It's high maintenance and needy as hell. And by the way, he says, sweetheart, chastity belt, and we're going to blue light you and fingerprint you.
Oh.
can we get the job done? Well, I guess I have to rely on what Uncle Fetzer gave me, the advice, that I just go grab that dude and treat him like a dirty, naughty monkey, drive those heels into his ass. Fellow was here, Stamp. Snake spin him, jump on the washing machine. But you got to make sure the washing machine's off balance. So he has to strap on, make him holler his sister's name, and then the bucking and snorting will really get his head spinning. And then, of course, you got to spin him back and out the door and say, sayonara, I don't need you no more. I don't know. It sounds like a scene from, like, Starving Stud meets the Dairy Queen. Did you know there's Starving?
It's all about the spin cycle, Bella.
A slightly out of balance spin cycle.
Yeah, it's all about the spin cycle.
Oh, by the way, the Dairy Queen outfit, I think I now have to add that to the company man's video. Although I'm blanking on what, wait a minute. I don't think that's going to do justice because I just had a horrific picture from the Belfield Dairy Queen and I don't know.
Just like the Nancy Pelosi reference the other night, Bella, I just threw up in my mouth a little.
Although we could do the hospital scene, and we have to do a hospital scene, and we have to do a strip club scene. So when I say that, I need the job done properly with the most well hung, like horse dude in the whole hospital complex, that would be the hospital scene, and then. I went into the ER this weekend, you guys, and I did get a prescription. Let me make a segue. So I had more stress on Saturday, and I could tell my blood pressure was really high, and I knew that the bronchitis was settling in. You guys have heard me talk about my allergies, on and on and on, and the amount of dust that you suck in out here. So Saturday morning, I got all of this steam rolling in my head because I also had a problem up at one of my rigs, and I take it personal. And when I let a company man down, oh man, am I beside myself? So I realized that I better get in, and I decide. And you can only go into the emergency room because that's the only choice that you have down here. And I do not want to go up to Disneyland. So I thought, well, I'm going to go in and get this done, and then I'm going to get up to the rig because I got to take care of it. So I go in there, and I said, is there anybody in here? Oh, just one. I said, great. I said, check me in. I said, I know my blood pressure is going to be high, but I said, I've got bronchitis settling, and I just don't want to be seen and heard, and then you can give me a prescription, and on my little merry way, I'm going to go. So I go in. She checks my blood pressure. She goes, yep. I said, yeah, I knew it was high. I could tell. So she says, well, just wait here, and the doctor will be in it. And I told her everything that I was dealing with, and she said, yeah, I have high blood pressure too. And I said, well, it's okay. I mean, I'm just around the corner. I'm getting so close to pulling everything together. I said, it's a learning curve. Anyway, so I'm sitting there trying to amuse myself, right? It didn't last very long. I mean, I'm in a white room. I have nothing other than what.
Spend 30 seconds with Bella and know that her trying to amuse herself lasts like, yeah.
So I stood up and I decided to go to the nurse's station, captive audience. They're sitting there, they can't go anywhere. So I said, ladies, this is what I said. I've been out here for 3 years, and this is what I started, and this is what I'm doing now. And I said, and then I before I could get to it, the other nurse goes, you're the radio girl. You're the one that has been written up in the paper. And I said, yeah, I am. Then the other nurse, she looks at me and she goes, you're ornery. You're really ornery. And I said,
no, they have no idea.
And I simply said, I don't have patience, and I have things to do, and I don't have time, and I don't time to dilly-dally and listen to Mickey Mouse bullshit when I've got a rig I've got to get out to and a thousand things on my list to get done. She says, well, it'll be just a minute. So she says, just go back in. The doctor will be right there. I go back in. The doctor walks in, and I can tell this is a flaming liberal. And I'm thinking, just this, zip it. Get through it and just zip it. Don't cause a fight, please. Peacefully sat there. She listens to my chest, does all the other crap. She leaves. I'm like, okay, you can do this. You got to talk yourself through this one. You can do this. It's okay. You really can. Come on, focus. Focus. Well, it lasted another couple of minutes. I go back out to the nurse's station, and I said, so I get talking to him, and then I get to know this one gal that the one nurse, and she's up here from Oklahoma. She's only been here for a month. We actually exchanged phone numbers. She said, you would be a hoot. You remind me of one of my good friends. And she said, just hotter than hell and temperament, but funnier than hell. And she said, I'd love to hang out with you. And I said, great. I said, can you just get me out of here? And she goes, the doctor's reading your results. The doctor is sitting behind me in an office. So I turn around. She's reading the funny pages. I look at the nurse, and I said, she's reading the funny pages. She's not reading my results. And she goes,
that
how do you know?
That probably was your result.
I said, because look. And then she goes, oh. And I said, yeah. I said, just typical liberal. So I walked back into the room, and I thought, self, you just got to sit here. You're in the system. At least you got in. Let's get this taken care of. Let's get this bad boy Johnson done. So then the doctor walks in all full of herself, and she's proud to tell me, this is the twisted part, she's proud to tell me that she doesn't hear what she thought she was going to hear in a chest that would be getting bronchitis. She says, and I really don't see any symptoms, and I'm going to go against your wishes. I'm not going to give you an antibiotic. And I said, okay. I said, you've read my medical history, correct? She said, yes. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, what is the only ailment that I ever suffer that I always come in for once a year, and unfortunately, if it's really bad, twice a year? It's a bronchitis, correct? She said, yes. I said, any other symptoms, any other ailments? Is there any history of mood-altering drugs, muscle relaxants, any type of abusive drug prescriptions that have ever been given to me my whole history? No. I said, well, then wouldn't you say that it's safe to say that I know myself pretty good and I know what I'm dealing with, and it would make much better sense to give me something now instead of later when I'm deathly ill, so that I can continue working, so I can pay for all the dumb, duffel-bag, dragon, unemployed asses that we have to pay for? Wouldn't you rather keep me working? She said, are you a doctor or something? I said, no, I happen to be somebody in charge and in control of my life, and I know what I'm dealing with. So I said, it would be most apropos for you to write that prescription right now and let me out of here. I got the prescription. See?
At that point, there was no other option.
Security.
it's like the company man says, what can I give her to just get her to shut up and go away?
I'm surprised you were that easy on her, Bella. You really did show restraint. I think charm school paid off.
I am going to the Bella D'Angelo Charm School. I have to admit that I think it'll make me a better person. It'll make me more tolerable. I think Bella needs to start her own charm school personally.
I would prefer to develop a find your balls school. That's what I would really prefer.
that's well, what you, this oil field needs.
No, I don't mean the oil field needs it. I mean the rest of the
The rest of the country.
The country needs it.
The rest of the country that has absolutely no, no, and you know what? We talk about this all the time on the oil field. Unless you're here, you don't get what we do. You have no flipping clue, no idea. And that's why I say all the time, I couldn't be more proud and more honored, and I can't wait for syndication. I can't wait to be a household name. I can't wait to be next to the big boys, telling the real story, telling the real true grit that is here in the oil field and the family that exists, and to dispel the myth of oil field trash. And I tell you what, I was so distraught over letting this company man down, because here's the thing. A lot of people don't know. Mud Doc, you know. My company men know. The hands that I know. Benjamin, you know. Brian Steer knows. But a lot of people do not understand just what I have out here, the family that I have, and the liberties that I've been given, and the things that are done because they know me. And so when I was out last week, I was trying so hard to cheer this company man up, and he was just having one of those days. And it was just breaking my heart. No matter what I was doing, no matter what I was saying, I just couldn't pull him out of it. And, you know, he had his feet up on the table, and he knew that he was tired. He'd had just one of those long mornings, and he was just so disgusted and frustrated with everything that's going on in this country. And so when I told him, I said, I'm trying to make your day, and I said, I'm going to talk about you on the radio tonight. And he said, well, to make your day, I'm going to give you this opportunity. And, you know, and so when we had this situation, I just, by the time I rolled on location, and I pulled up to his shack, and then I saw him way on the other end of the location, and I started walking towards him, and by the time he got up to me, I looked at him and I said, are you going to throw me in the mud pit? And he goes, no, I'm just going to push you over the bank. And I said, I am so sorry. And he said, hell of your balls. He said, I've had all kinds of hell out here, and it's only gotten worse. But, you see, when you're, you know, they call me the mascot of their rigs. And that's also my house rig is one of their rigs. That's where I spend all my time with my family and my brothers and hang out and have dinner. And I treat it like it's my house, even though a certain George Patton Jr. gripes about cleaning up his blown up microwave and kitchen and everything else. I just go, whatever. Whatever. What would you do without?
Are you going to make some tuna fish, Bella?
Yes, that is my tuna fish station, my official tuna fish station. But I had bigger things. But I had some real issues that I had to solve over the weekend, right? So the next thing is, I got to fix the radio show because I'm not taking any more technical crap, no more technical problems. So I willingly, and I say this, I willingly, because, Benjamin, you and I were talking about this last week, one of the last places I ever want to spend an afternoon is a cellular carrier's retail store.
Especially in the Williston Basin.
Oh, my God. The ones here are bad enough in the excuses that they make.
Until you've been there and done that in the basin, you don't do it. You wait until you go on days off. Unfortunately, Bella has no days off out of here, but you just deal with it elsewhere.
Yeah, well, let me make this news-breaking announcement. Just trying, because a lot of people have been asking me about this, just trying to get a truck, and I mean a damn good pickup, which you can't even buy one of those here because the prices are so inflated. So I fortunately get a contact down in Texas. I've got an amazing can't walk away from price on this beautiful, I can't wait for it. It is an F-250 Lariat black four-door. I mean, and of course, I I tricked it out just a little bit. I'm going to do it more once I get it up here. But my doctor's been driving my diesel, and he said, "What did you do to this thing?" He goes, "Somebody owned this before you did." I said, "No, I tricked it myself." Well, I didn't do the work. I got it. But anyway, so I called him today, and I said, "The likelihood that I can leave here to even get to Texas to get the truck, it's not going to happen." But luckily, they're driving up to South Dakota, and then I'm going to get a ride down to South Dakota, so I will have my truck this weekend. But I can't get out of here. But anyway, so that's why I've got to go down to. So I told myself, I'm like, again, just talk to yourself. You can do this. You can get through it. It's going to be, you know, half a day, but you got to get this done, because nothing is more maddening than trying to come in and get on this show and nothing's working, and I'm pirating and all this other Mickey Mouse, and then having you guys, you know, I can't hear you, kind of, right?
I mean, sure.
So I go
in. You got it. You're there.
Yeah, but there were some painful moments in there. I mean, first of all, you got to listen to all these Tom, Dick, and Harry holes coming in with the most ridiculous problems. And then you got to listen to how customer service handles the ridiculous problems, because they really don't know what they're even talking about or doing. And trust me, from somebody, and I don't know if you guys, either one of you knew this, but I sold cell phones. That was my first job. And take it from somebody that knows how to, I mean, I know how to hotwire a 3-watt mobile phone and then guess the ESN so that the cellular carrier can ping it to try and pick up the true electronic serial number. So, I know my way around these things. So, it's very aggravating when I walked in and I put down my internet card and said, it doesn't work. And then she says, "Did you plug it in?" It's like, don't kill her. Just try. Anyways, I have
My favorite response when I go in the store is when they tell me I have to go to their website.
Oh, or call their 800 number.
No, it's like I'm in your store and you're telling me I got to go home now and get on your website? No, thanks.
Because I have
get
no
on
mobile,
your website.
I have no mobile hotspot because my phone doesn't work, so I can't get on my website from here.
How about you get on your website and fix it like you're supposed to? Sorry,
your
fries are getting cold.
I know. Is that not the truth? They both have little TV dinners they're snacking on while I'm standing there. And I said to them, she goes, well, your internet card seems to be working fine now. And I said, now, I'm sure, just like anything else, but when you bring something into the doctor, it doesn't feel sick. It's fine. I said, but when I leave here, I said, the thing is, I'm up in Watford. And I said, and then all of a sudden I thought to myself, I'm like, self, you gave your other phone to your new employee, so you're down to one phone other than the sales job phone. So that puts you with one phone. You knew the meltdown you suffered the other weekend when your one phone didn't work, and we're headed into winter. And there isn't anybody that's going to want to deal with me if I don't have a phone and I'm coming after and pirating somebody else's phone and then dealing with the direct. So I said, self, no, let's fix this all. So I got a second personal hotspot. Yes.
It's a
and
case
my
of the Williston's, Bella.
Huh?
It's a case of the Williston's. Period. Plain and simple.
I can rocket the next missile. I can. But here's how technology, and we'll jump in a little bit more about Obamacare and some other things here, but one of the things that is very concerning to me is the control that technology has over us. And let me give you this one completely retarded example. Do you guys know that I can't access my app By the way, if anybody's trying to call in right now, I should do this. 760, do not put a 1 in front of it. 760-259-2312. 760-259-2312. You know, I can't access, I'm an app on a smartphone, right? But I can't access it. The reason I can't access it is because it asked me for my Apple password, which anybody that knows me knows that passwords and I are foreign. It's like, please, dear God, just can I say 1234 or ABC, anything, do not, it's taxing. It's just, I need an IT assistant. So, when I tried to get my Apple password changed a couple of months ago, Verizon told me to call some phone number. Well, I called the phone number, and of course it was a phone number that just went to voicemail, and, you know, me and my patients, well, I just hung up. So I said, you know what, I want to download my iTunes to this new phone. Can you help me do that? And she said, she goes, oh, okay. She said, well, here, give me your Apple password. And I said, and that's when I said, you know, I'm going to have a self-contained meltdown right here. What I mean is, I know it's going to be painful, but I'm going to contain myself. I'm not going to blow up. I'm not going to let my head get on fire. I'm not going to, no, I'm going to be good. I will behave. But I knew it was coming. So considering the fact that I set up my iTunes account 4.5 years ago, she calls into this number, she actually gets somebody live, and then they say, we got to ask you some security questions. And I thought, don't start asking about addresses. It won't go well. As one of our regular listeners had said, if you had to change your business card every time you change addresses, you might as well just drive around with a chalkboard and chalk and just wipe and rewrite. So anyways, the first question she says, what street did you grow up on? Okay, I passed that one. Got that one. I was there for a lengthy amount of time. Then she says, this is the best one. She goes, what is your least favorite job? And I said to myself,
what? all right. Now, this was 4.5 years ago, so this is pre-oil fields.
And to tell you the truth, from all of the jobs that I've had out here, all the small time, all these fly-by-night operations that I sold for that just totally didn't get me and didn't get it and just, you know, used me. I mean, in between, I don't know, let's talk about the bid experience. Let's talk about, how about the trucking and rock guys? How about the site building? I mean, on and on, the people that I can tell you that I rep for that I just threw my hands up and said, that's why I started business for myself. At least I knew I can represent myself. At least I know that I can deliver what I'm promising. So anyways, by that time, I thought to myself, who God's name knows what I thought was my least favorite job 4.5 years ago. Then she asked me the class, and she goes, what about the last 4 of your credit card? And I said, seriously? I said, I was in Minneapolis then. I mean, so many things have changed. There's no possible way I have the same credit card from 4.5 years ago, let alone debit cards. This is the best. So then I hand the phone back to the Verizon after I leveled her. I leveled the Apple lady. I let her have that one. And then I thought, here, Verizon, you try and deal with her. So I can hear the Apple lady saying, yeah, I can't approve this because I don't really know if this is her. And she says, and she softens her voice a little bit. She goes, well, she doesn't have the last 4 of her visa. As if she must have had her visa for 30,000 some years or something. And she's probably had the same bloody job for the last, I don't know, but as soon as she says, she doesn't remember. And that's when I just said, give me that phone back. I took the phone back and I just hit end. I was like, done. I'm done. When I'm done, I'm done. There's other things I have to do, and time is running out. And I'm listening to these other people that are trying to get insurance taken care of on their phone, and that's a lengthy. And I'm thinking, I've been in here for over an hour just trying to make sure my internet card works, and I need a second phone. I mean, really? So I just said, I want another phone, and I want a hotspot on it. I said I want to be covered on all bases. So this is the best, you guys. I now have the Stealth company man's phone. Do you know how I did it? You know, next time when they ask me what kind of phone I have, and then I say smart ass phone, and then he grabs it, and then before you know it, I'm emailing the entire rig, "I Want Your Sex" by Bella D'Angelo. I fixed that one. Guess how I did it? Guess?
How?
No guessing? When she handed me the phone, huh?
I don't even want to begin to guess.
It's easy. Come on, pull that zip cord on the thinking cap. When she handed me the phone, she said, "Do you want your contacts downloaded?" And I thought to myself, "Self, why don't you do this? Don't load anything into the phone. It is a hear no, speak no, see no evil phone." So when the company man says, "I can tell exactly what you've been up to since the last time you was here," I'll say, "Fine, nothing." Like I don't do anything, and I'll hand them the phone as proof because there will be no text messages. There will be no pictures. Well, there's not even pictures in this stupid phone. I refuse to send pictures. I don't even know how to take pictures. I don't want to know. That's what a camera is for, not your phone.
Thank you.
And there won't be.
Yeah, but Bella, don't be surfing porn
the,
on that phone.
That is the quickest way to piss me off immediately is ask me to send you a picture. Really? Oh, and when it's FaceTime, let me tell you something. Though, if somebody gets a FaceTime from me, it's simply because it butt dialed it or it did something. Because if I want to see you, trust me, I will not FaceTime you. I will come and actually see you. I mean, this is just common sense. But this is what has completely, you know, this is one of the things that I said. The problem with our country is immediate gratification. Immediate gratification,
well,
constant distraction.
It's all distractions.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I can play games on my phone. I can take pictures on my phone. I can do all this other crap. But the phone sucks. I want a phone.
Yeah.
I don't want to play games and take pictures. I want a phone.
I want to be able to make a phone call.
Well, I mean, that's what I said to her when she was asking me. She said, "Well, you can pick this many gigabytes. You can store this many pictures. You can da 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 da." And I stopped her and I said, "Stop. This is greedy.
Does it make calls?"
I said, "Yeah." I said, "Does it work?" I said, "All I want is for the phone where I can pick it up, I can dial it, I can make a call, I can get on my radio show, I can do the important things. Because for the love of God, in the types of traffic that I drive in, which today I almost got nailed from behind, and I was going down the two-lane where the construction is, and I was trying to turn. I was making a left-hand single. I was headed back to George Head Jr.'s rig, and I do what I always do when I'm signaling, and I'm watching the trucks behind me see that I'm signaling as they're hauling ass behind me. The guy right behind me goes to go around me, and sure enough, you know, the one behind them wasn't paying attention, did see me. So, of course, you have to gun it straight ahead to make another attempt to turn. But, I mean, in the driving conditions, and you don't even have to be here. I mean, these phones are just, there's too much. And you're right, Benjamin, it's constant distraction. When do you see people in a gym without their iPhone, without their iTunes plugged into their ears? I mean, they can't do anything without being distracted. I refuse. But so at least I got the job done at Verizon. So then I had to laugh even more because then I leave. And as I was leaving, the rest of the people all in there, they said, "Geez, we should go out and get drunk after this. I mean, you feel like you need that much of a stress relief just trying to get through the cell phone place." And I said, "Well, guys, I got to get to Watford." But I said, "Here's my card. Tune into my radio show. You'll hear about today. You'll hear about all of this." I said, "I've got my..." "Oh, you do?" "Yeah." I said, "But I got to run." "But okay, I'm going to grab a Subway on my way out because it's late by the time I was heading back up." So I stop at the Subway, and this is another instance of what has happened to us with cell phones. So the guy next to me that's standing in line, he's on his cell phone and he's ordering dinner. And it's not just dinner for one, it's like for an army. And he's got to keep asking and put all of the ingredients for like 10 sandwiches from his cell phone to the Subway person. And no, add this to that one. Oh, I'm sorry. And add that.
I can't wait to hear how you dealt with this.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be good.
What, how was that blood pressure then, Bella?
No, by this point, I'm fine because I made it out of the doctor. I got my prescription. I made it out of Ryzen. I'm nearing the home stretch, right? So I'm just thinking, really? So I looked at him, and I started laughing. And he's looking at me, and he goes, I'm sorry. I've got an army to feed. And I just said, unbelievable. And he's like, what? And I said, I just was shaking my head. And then his little daughter's pulling on his jeans, and then I turn around and I look, and you know, how is it so many people who can't afford dogs have dogs? Some ladies
yep,
running
can't
in,
afford
you
to
know.
Feed myself. Can't afford
no,
to feed myself,
I mean,
but by God, I got a dog.
It's obvious. She comes running in, and she's trying to. I'm just thinking, just let me away from the general public, please. Let me get through this. So finally, I looked at him. Again, and I said, I'm sorry. I said, I have a radio show out here. I said, here's my card. Tune in. You can listen to. And he goes, are you from here? And I said, no, Guantanamo. I just didn't want to do any more time. I mean, do I have to? Do I have to even have any? Do I have to have any connection anymore to Minneapolis, Minnesota? I say not. And if I say. If I say anywhere south, they don't believe me anyways because the strong Yankeeism, which we have to keep working on yanking out of, I mean, they just don't believe. So then I mean, I could pick, I don't know, but they don't believe me if I say that I'm from North Dakota. So I just shorten it so that they have no idea how to have a comeback. Because when you say D'Angelo, it stops them anyways. I mean, really? You don't see some connections? So anyways, so I get out of there. So I get out of there, and I thought, self, well, it is Saturday night, and I'm going to be home, no, it's Sunday night, and I thought I'm going to be hanging out, so I'm going to stop, and I'm going to get a bottle of wine. So I go in, and this is, you know, you think that you've heard, it's just nonstop. As one of the guys that rode around with me the other day said, I can't believe you don't just get exhausted after a while. Is it just endless, the things that, you know, the directions, the ways that they come after you with the lines? So he's standing there. The clerk is the cashier, and he says to me, should I ID you? I said, if you're asking, then you know you don't need to, but if they fail the attempt for a possible opportunity for a piece of information like name, date of birth, anything that you can possibly stalk me on. I said, just stop and spare yourself. Just give me my change and let me out of here. Thank you.
Dude, if you want my number, just ask.
Right. Yeah. That's going to get it. Yeah. So... Benjamin, I just, as I was sitting there last night and you know, I had a great day out at, I went to the rig today that, or on Sunday that they were going to come on the show on Thursday and they didn't make it because they had gone out and they ran late. But when I got into his shack and, you know, he had football playing and he was telling me that he was listening to episodes and I'm getting so much feedback, Benjamin. Now that the new format, and there were a couple of guys that were going to call in tonight, but, you know, that's the thing is you never know what's going to happen up at the rig. But on Saturday morning, Benjamin, I got called by one of my company men that was adjusting his fuel order, and he said to me, he said, we've been listening to your episodes, and he said, you're really gaining momentum. You're doing great work, and it just – I'm just so excited, and I can't wait, you know, as you know, that Brian's going to be here. And, you know, when Brian finally puts all these pieces together and gets to ride around with me, you know, it's just going to be huge.
I can't wait to hear his take and his version of some of the stories. It's going to be like
the life
shell
of Bella
for him. You think he's up for it? I'm a little worried about him.
No, I'm pretty sure that nobody is up for a day in the life of Bella.
Well,
it's like his first night there. It's going to be like your first night in prison. He's just going to huddle up in the corner and cry.
But then it'll be okay. It'll go well. It'll go well.
I have got specific company men lined up for him to go out and meet and visit with. On his first night here, by the way, when he told me that he comes in mid-afternoon, and when he told me that he had his own rental 4x4 all lined up, I told him, I said, I don't want the phone call of how do you get out of Williston. I said, I'm going to meet you there and escort you out because there's, like, no place you've ever been to. I sent out an email to a whole bunch of people today. That it's Team Bella is who the email went out to. And because when I say people just don't get it, one of the email responses was, Brian will get the flavor of what's going on out there. I was like, flavor? If you're talking about you taste dust in your mouth all the time, I mean, it's not flavor. And I said, here's what I said in the email. I said, the thing is that, and I mean this with all, I mean, and I might sound a little choked up if it comes out, but I mean, I've been here three and a half years. The family that I have is the family that is here. My company men and some brothers that are rig hands, and that rig that I call home. I don't have a home outside of here. I don't have family outside of here. And yet no one has actually been here. Well, Benjamin, you and I met, but briefly. But no one that knew me before has come out here except Brian Sear. And you know when Brian met me? Brian met me when I still was just a quiet little, you know, still trying to figure my way out of a whole bunch of things. He came to my book signing party back in Minneapolis. And he was the one that I called the first time I went on Sean Hannity's radio program. He's the person that I called the first time when I finally decided I was headed out here. And, you know, the first time I went on Sean Hannity's program, he told me, good luck, very few make it on. I called him back 3 hours later, and I said, I did it. I called him on the day that I was sitting in front of the bagel shop, and I said, I'm scared out of my ever-loving mind to go to that oil field, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make a name for myself out there, and I'm going to accomplish things. I'm scared out of my mind, but he said, if you're that scared, then you got to go and you got to do it. And I said to the group, I said, it'll be so cool to have him come out here and see the great family and friends and everything that is out here, and I can't wait. And he's not going to be overwhelmed. The first night he's here, he's going to meet George Patton Jr. and my brothers, and we're going to go up to the rig. And then from there, I've got some very well laid out company men for him to meet, and he's already taken the biggest step in contacting, you know, the radio station, and we are prepared for a ton of fun. And when you sit back and you look at how far you've come, right? Look where you started from and where you've come. When did this whole thing really catch on fire? When did I stand up one day and said, I'm going to do something about this? And it really started with that first phone call to Sean Hannity, because I understood, even though nobody back in Minneapolis understood, I extrapolated what the full impact of this madness, this insanity, this craziness of this administration, and I fully understood what Obamacare was going to do. Even though nobody could connect the dots and fully understand, except for, you know, I listened to Beck. That's primarily who I listened to, Glenn Beck. And, you know, I understood back in Minneapolis over 3.5 years ago, a little, I'm sorry, it would have been over 4.5 years ago, because I was trying to tell people what was going to happen when Obamacare became law of the land, then what was going to happen if they shoved through amnesty. And what I explained to Sean on my very first time on the radio show, I said, the thing is, the only way that corporations can afford to continue to operate is when amnesty is pushed through so that it's legal to be illegal. How they have to cover that cost, that increased cost, that nobody has any idea how high that cost is going to be. They're going to have to then lay off legal workers that are making good wages and covering those benefits, and they're going to have to then hire the now legal to be illegal immigrants and drop that wage so they can try and hit their margin. And I was right. Even though Sean Hannity said that day on the radio show, he said, oh, I meet with executives all the time, and they tell me, Sean, you don't get it. And he didn't get it. And people are not getting it until now when it's actually finally hitting their pocketbook. And the reality is that all of this was just an insidious way to, and it's not the Robin Hood style approach like Jesse and Frank James. This is the insidious way to steal from the rich, to give to the poor, to build on the entitlement. And it is simply a revenue generator. And when I sat and watched Fox News last night, and you're starting to watch these young kids that voted for them. And they're coming in and they're saying, not only can I can barely find a job that'll pay the wages that I need, and now when I'm looking into this Obamacare, and oh, by the way, yeah, the website doesn't work, and they're trying to explain that away, whatever, thank God it doesn't work. But when they're starting to talk to and find out what it's actually costing, I'll breathe for a second. Benjamin, you want to jump in?
Jeez. I mean, I don't know how people couldn't see this coming. I just think the kids, well, his base doesn't pay attention. You know, they're just attracted, like Bella says, by the next shiny object they see. So
exactly.
It's not hard to fool them.
It's all about the uninformed. He ran on a platform of uninformed. I talked to my cousin earlier today who is a young individual. And, you know, I've been trying to help his business. He's been trying to help mine. And I told him, you know, look, I'm going to help you out, even though you voted for Obama. And he said, you know, I'm not too happy with the old man myself these days. He said, I just didn't know what to do back in the day. And that's exactly what it is he ran on a platform of uninformed. And he ran on a platform of ignorance. And the people who voted for him just absolutely don't understand the monster they've put in place.
Well, it was bigger. It was even bigger than that. He ran on a platform of an entire country set up with both sides. And I know this because I was in the heart of the mental disorder liberalism mixed with an odd concoction cocktail of conservatives who are no different than the conservatives that are in office now. They wear the name tag of conservative, but they stand for nothing conservative. And even though Ted Cruz came through and fought and stood for everything that he said he was going to do, now the conservative Republicans are throwing him under the bus, and it's just maddening and insanity. It's just like Judge Jeanine said to both of them, you're both in trouble, and you're not doing what is right for the country, which is the same bloody hell mess that got us into this mess. So it's just got to stop, and yet at some point I sit here and I say, well, what was going to push us to the brink of finally changing? And what really, really got me last night, so then Barbara Boxer sits there, and she had the nerve to actually call the Republicans. She drew the similarity to the Republicans of describing it as domestic abuse towards the American people, allowing the government to shut down. And the thing is to minimize what abuse really is when the actual real abuse is what the administration is doing to the American people. The actual crime and abuse is this entire system, this insanity, all this madness, all this craziness, all of this it didn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. And then we've got the top, the anointed that sits there and says he will not be brought to negotiations under threatening terms. It's like, I would love it if the government would stay shut down. Let's just take a front end loader and level it and start all over, because to tell you the truth, I don't know, but up here in the oil field, we're not affected by the federal government being shut down. I get up every day. I have a job. I have all, you know, we are private land, private companies, and I would love nothing more than to keep proving every single day just how big the government is, just how much we don't need them, just how much, it, you know, just shut the whole thing down. Let it collapse.
You've got to fall from grace before you can rebuild, and that's everything. You know, I've been to basic training before, and you have to be broken down to nothing before you can build to something.
Well, let me jump in here real quick. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say the problem is, and I don't disagree with you. The problem is with the country, though, when you break it, the huge power vacuum that it creates, and then you've got tyrants from all over the world rushing in to fill that void. It's not necessarily a controlled rebuild, which concerns me a little bit.
I gotta take a break here to put in some of my propaganda that's been given to me by my company. And by the way, if you're listening to this program, and specifically if you happen to claim fame to Minnesota and your feelings get hurt by listening to this show, simply fill out the hurt feelings report and submit to somebody on the left, because I don't take them. But just write down the date that your feelings were hurt, the time of hurtfulness, the location, and on and on and on, and then you can give the reason for filing this report, that you're thin-skinned, a wimp, have woman, man-like hormones, a crybaby, you want your mommy, the department needs to fix my problems, your feelings are easily hurt, you didn't sign up for this, on and on and on, whatever. Save it, give it to somebody that gives a crap. Because this is no time for feelings or emotions. This is serious time to say, I mean, really? And let me read you something else that one of my company men gave me. And then I'm going to follow it up with a little bit of humor on another email that a lovely Lucille gave to me from down in Texas. Did you guys, there's four simple questions to ask. Back in 1961, let me back up this. Four simple questions from a reputable attorney. You must read. This really should get your gray matter churning, even if you are an anointed fan. I wouldn't want my hero to be made out to be a liar, would you? For all you anti-Fox News folks, none of this propaganda came from Fox. All of it can be verified from legitimate sources. Wikipedia, I'm sorry if I pronounced this wrong, Capiolani Hospital website itself, and a good history book as noted herein. Very easy for someone to check out. Back in 1961, people of color were called Negroes. So how can the anointed birth certificate state he is African-American when the term wasn't even used at that time? Have you guys heard these four questions?
No, but I've heard that issue brought up before.
The birth certificate,
I have as well.
The birth certificate that the White House released lists anointed birth as August 4th, 1961, and lists Barack Hussein Obama as his father. No big deal, right? At the time of the anointed's birth, it also shows that his father is age 25 years old and that the anointed's father was born in Kenya, East Africa. this wouldn't seem like anything of concern except the fact that Kenya didn't even exist until 1963, 2 whole years after Anointed's birth, and 27 years after his father's birth. How could Anointed's father have been born in a country that did not yet exist? Up until Kenya was formed in 1963, it was known as the British East Africa Protectorate. Number three, on the birth certificate released by the White House, the listed place of birth is Kapiolani Maternity and Gynecological Hospital. This cannot be because the hospital in question in 1961 were called Kwai Kiolani Children's Hospital and Kapiolani Maternity Home, respectively. The name did not change to Kapiolani Maternity and Gynecological Hospital until 1978, when these two hospitals merge. How can this particular name of the hospital be on a birth certificate dated 1961 if this name had not been applied to it until 1978?
Not possible.
Well,
so I guess this...
I mean,
go ahead, Benjamin.
It goes even deeper than that. I mean, they've had... there's been a lot of scrutiny over the actual certificate, and even the font used is incorrect for the time period that it's supposed to be from.
The I date, don't know. Didn't anybody notice the paper was a little bit sticky from the Cracker Jack box that came out of?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, Benjamin? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know. It really disturbs me how issues like that have just gone away.
It's been all smoke and mirrors. Every time that an issue comes up, he brings another issue up. It's kind of the platform of the liberals and the Democrats. It's every time something comes up, we create another issue to hide it.
Sure. Well, that's out of the Saul Alinsky playbook. But still, an issue that severe shouldn't just go away. And how come none of the other talk show hosts don't just continue to harp on these points?
That's just one of them. Well, I mean, before I get to this email, the bottom line is that to understand the liberal mindset, and how many times have I said this, it's a mental disorder. You cannot have logical conversation with them. And it's gotten so bad that the bizarreness, the lunacy, and now the pure evil, just the pure unrelenting evil, because it doesn't matter the destruction. It doesn't matter what is actually happening. It doesn't matter that it's bold-faced, in your face, that this country is pushed over the edge to a catastrophic point, but they don't give a rat's ass. It's all about the control of the country. It's all about the control, and it doesn't matter that you could show them every fact in the world about where this country is at. We have a debt crisis, obviously, and they can't stop the addiction of spending, and they do not see you can't just keep printing money. And they cannot see, if you showed to them, you said, look at the ticker of all of the corporations laying off. Look at all the continued addition to unemployment. Look at the cost to the household. I mean, they won't care. They will spin it. They will spin it so hard that it doesn't make sense. You can't have a logical conversation because then all of a sudden it turns to emotion. Before you know it, they're kicking, screaming, throwing things, and then they run away, which is, that's what they're doing.
It's just like a toddler throwing a temper tantrum. They're completely uninformed about the situation that they're throwing a tantrum about. They're completely uninformed of why they're mad. They're just mad because they're mad.
It's not even that they're not informed. It's just that they are so... It's all about the control and the power, and it has nothing to do with... And the bigger problem is, though, is I truly do not believe that they see and understand the true agenda. Because if they understood that the stalemate of the leader in charge, I mean, this is purposeful. It is purposeful. How you know, you can't see it. I mean, everybody from the outside sees it. I mean, we have other countries telling us, we don't look like ourselves anymore. We don't act like ourselves anymore. We are not the strong leader of the world anymore because we don't represent anything that this country used to represent. Nothing.
It's just like depression. You don't understand you're depressed, but everyone else around you can see you're depressed. We don't understand that we are lost. The rest of the world can see it, and that leaves us vulnerable.
Benjamin, you want to jump in?
I just think that unfortunately there's a large enough segment of the population that when we talk about stuff like this, we take for granted that everybody can think and read and talk and communicate to some degree, and that's not true. There's a huge and rapidly growing segment of the population out there that literally these people, they can't even they use a barbaric form of communication. They can't read, they can barely speak, and they can't function in a civilized society. And that's what multiculturalism and diversity does to you. That is a myth. Multiculturalism is a myth. It can't. How can you have a civilized society where what's legal to one group of people is illegal to another group of people? You can't have that. You can't have two sets or more than two sets of laws in a civilized society.
It's like the caste system. It didn't work then, and it doesn't work now.
But there are segments of the population that are unreachable because they're only a little bit above pointing and grunting. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I've had a unique life and set of events. You know, I grew up in the South. I've seen things. I've had a unique set of circumstances in my life, and there's a large and growing segment of the population that is just incapable of functioning by themselves in a civilized society. And I don't know how you address that.
Well, you know, in order to be a survivalist, you have to have learned how to survive. And the way that I see what is going to be happening in this country is a lot of the comforts, a lot of the ease of, you know, people had it easy for far too long. And just like you, Benjamin, I experienced things that a lot of people would never, ever guess. You know, and when company men ask me my story, and I keep it, you know, pretty short, but, you know, that's one thing that I love about my company men. They never look at you like, are you kidding me? You know, how? Or they just listen. They just listen. They're never judgmental. But I've experienced things that people just can't even believe it. And when I, it's all in my book, but it gave me, I grew up different. I grew up on my own. I mean, I was hatched this way, but I really didn't have I didn't have parents. You know, I was on my own from 13. So I have a different viewpoint. But what I see happening to this country is what really needed to happen, which is a big old wake-up call. And people that have had it too easy, it's not going to be so easy anymore to go around and do the things that they were taking for granted. Just like that girl that called in, last night, or was on Fox last night, talking about she voted for him. She believes. She can barely survive. She can barely pay her bills, and now her health insurance. I mean, it's hitting people in the pocketbook. And when it finally hits the big pocket, I mean, I've said this. This is going to be interesting to watch what exactly, what is going to happen, and how is this country going to react, because we've never been at this point before. And I try to take away the positives as well. Let's remember some of those things, because there's a lot of wins, too. Did you guys hear that? I can't remember the counties' names, but there are, like, several counties in Colorado right now that have filed for to secede. Hello?
Yeah, there's been a lot of counties all over the country for the past, what, 3-4 years that have been doing that, and it makes a statement, but I don't know that anything will ever happen.
Let me also put in perspective, though, that, and this is what I was talking about when I was down at my last rig today. As much as you know, Obamacare is law of the land, but just look at all of the nightmarish problems, all of the inability. I mean, the mere fact that name one government agency that you go to that you so enjoy the experience that you send a thank you card and you can't wait to go back and deal with them. And look at all the headaches and the nightmare that Obamacare is presenting at this early. I mean, at best, it's going to implode all on its own. It was designed to implode to begin with. There's no way that this can possibly be fully implemented. On top of it, we're broke.
Yeah, it was a poor design from the beginning. It's there now. Nobody knows how to implement it. Nobody knows what we're up against. I, as a small business owner, I can't get a direct answer as to what the implications are to me. Nobody knows. Insurance agents, insurance companies, nobody understands it. And I fear that when we do understand it, it's going to crush us.
Hey guys, England, when they implemented their socialized medical system, they outsourced the software tracking program to us. Do you know that we have not figured out how to even do that? Just look at the insanity and the madness. They're going to have the IRS manage it. We already know that the IRS can't even manage anything other than going after, Tea Party groups and then, snorting, sniffing, drinking, porn buying. I mean, it's just insidious what is going on over there. There is no income verification. There's no income verification. I mean, it's just the litany goes on and on and on. So I got to say this, that I am very pleased that this is coming through like the most Chicago-style shoved-through lunacy plan, and it's just, you couldn't have a worse, think of it, you couldn't have a worse implementation plan of something that came in with the fastest, brightest, shiniest sales presentation ever given. I got to get Lucille, who I love to death. Lucille is a little angel in my life. She cheerleads me through emails. I haven't met her yet. I can't wait to meet her. But she sent me this email, and it says, "This is one of the cleverest emails I've received in a while. Someone out there must be deadly at Scrabble. Wait till you see the last one." Okay, so take the word Presbyterian. When you rearrange the letters, best in prayer. Take the word astronomer. When you rearrange the letters, moonstarer. Take the word desperation. When you rearrange the letters, a rope ends it. Take the two words, the eyes. When you rearrange the letters, they see. Take the name George Bush. When you rearrange the letters, he bugs Gore. Take the three words, the Morse code. When you rearrange the letters, here come dots. Take the word dormitory. When you rearrange the letters, dirty room. Take the two words, slot machines. When you rearrange the letters, cash lost in me. Isn't that wild? Now get to these. We've got a couple more here. Animosity. When you rearrange the letters, is no amity. Take these two words. Election results. When you rearrange the letters, lies, let's recount. You can't make this up, you guys. I can forward this to you, but you can't make this up. Two words, snooze alarms. When you rearrange the letters, alas, no more Z's. A decimal point. When you rearrange the letters, I'm a dot in place. Oh, listen, they're earthquakes. When you rearrange the letters, that... that queer shake. 11 plus 2 spelt out. When you rearrange the letters, 12 plus 1. And the finale, for the grand finale, President Barack Obama. When you rearrange the letters, an Arab-backed imposter.
Wow.
Let's see, what other propaganda am I toting around from my company men that I said I would read tonight? Oh, I want to read this one again, because if you weren't listening the other night and you missed it, I'm going to share it again. Let me get my papers all set up here. Excuse me for the background noise. Let's just say this, because this is going to hit home again on what I was talking about earlier. Putin's speech. Vladimir Putin, Russian president, addressed the Duma and gave a speech about the tensions with minorities in Russia. In Russia, live like Russians. Any minority from anywhere, if it wants to live in Russia, to work and eat in Russia, should speak Russian and should respect the Russian laws. If they prefer Sharia law and live the life of Muslims, then we advise them to go to those places where that's the state law. Russia does not need Muslim minorities. Minorities need Russia, and we will not grant them special privileges or try to change our laws to fit their desires, no matter how loud they yell discrimination. We will not tolerate disrespect of our Russian culture. We better learn from the suicides of America, England, Holland, and France. If we are to survive as a nation, the Muslims are taking over those countries, and they will not take over Russia. The Russian customs and traditions are not compatible with the lack of culture or the primitive ways of Sharia law and Muslims. When this honorable legislative body thinks of creating new laws, it should have in mind the Russian national interest first, observing that the Muslim minorities are not Russian. The politicians in the Duma gave Putin a 5-minute standing ovation. Putin, 2016. Hey, you guys, can you believe this? I have carried this through the hour and a half. The gentleman that we're going to come on this show tonight, I don't know, maybe this is starting a new trend. I mean, guys, maybe I should be carrying the show the whole hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, it's not like my jaws of life exactly slowed down too much tonight. And if you hook me up to the rig and shut down the generator and the cats, I could run the rig. I could.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no doubt that there is enough energy in Bella D'Angelo to run a full diesel electric rig with all generators shut down, period.
I just think what you should do is you should go spend every morning at the Verizon office, and then you'll be ready to do the show in the evenings.
Hey, don't forget the Diet Coke.
Actually, I've been good. You know what, gentlemen? I only had one today.
That a girl.
Mm-hmm. I only had
Bella.
One today. I'm getting better. Huh.
Hey, I want to go ahead and end my call sign. I'm no longer Mud Doc. My name's Dallas.
There you go, world.
Hey. Now I call in without a call sign.
There you go. The world now knows you have been revealed. And also, the show is going to take on, so when I was leaving the rig today and I told the company man, I said, you know what, I'm going to be spending a lot more time up at a rig. And he just looked at me and I said, well, I'm going to have office space, impossible living space. Can you imagine the legs I'm going to get by living on location? I mean, company man now are, and I, can you just see the look in all their eyes when they're going, which one? And this is the big one he used to say to me when I told him that I was heading that way, and he'd say, thank you for the warning, I'm going to put up the roadblock. And then I said, I'm going to put the ramp, and I'm going to Knievel it because you can't stop me. And you certainly can't catch me. Run as fast as you want, but you won't catch me. Catch me if you can. We gotta wrap out of this, guys. This is fun tonight. Tomorrow night is Eric Rush from Fox News contributor, as well as author, as well as he has his own radio program. We also have Frank Aguilla, who is, he's been on the show a couple of times. He wrote the book Out of Nowhere about Sarah Palin. Very excited to have him. And then, of course, I will be out at the rigs with building more material and humor. So, unfortunately, guys, we gotta say goodnight. Any parting words, either one of you? Dallas, go first.
Hey, man, I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be here in the Bakken, and let's rock this Bakken, Bella.
I'm all over it. Benjamin, I'm so glad you're feeling better. You sound better. You got your funk back. I did tell you this every single time. I'm not letting you go. You can't. I can't. You just can't. I'm sorry. You don't have a choice.
You're going to call me every night before the show, aren't you?
Yeah.
it was fun tonight. Good show. Thanks for coming on, Dallas.
Yep.
Enjoyed
yep.
having
and
you.
You only get one fashionably late, Benjamin. After that, it's just late, and then look out.
Yeah.
Bella's on ya.
No, then it's the jumper cables and the generator and made to make an impact.
I hear you.
Guys, I'm going to wrap out of this. I'm going to say goodnight. God bless. God bless America. And let's all learn how to get a few more people understanding how to grow these. And goodnight and ciao.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls. I've got big balls. There's such big balls, and there's plenty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. Ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. for fancy dress, but when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night.
Oh,
we've got big balls! We've got big balls!
In a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-teeny stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Fella D'Angelo Show.